Come on up, Aaron. Hi, Bam Bam. Oh, goodness. Hi, baby. I still love that picture. How you doing, Aaron?
Happy to be back.
Yeah, glad you're back too. Welcome.
Yeah, baby.
Like your name, yeah, baby. All right, so welcome. Today is, let me turn this down. Today is March 22nd, Friday. I am your host, Dina Joe, coming to you live from the DJ Pebbles studio, located in the Mile High City, colorful Colorado. Welcome to the program. So grateful to have you with us today. Aaron is back from his hiatus. If you're listening to us later on the download, I understand how valuable your time is. Thank you for coming in. I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks for coming in. Yeah, baby. Hit that follow button so you can join us live sometime. I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:45 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. I have the best people in the chat. Today's Friday, word of the day, trending, a little bit of trending. Because Aaron's here, we're going to get into sports. And then the music segment was going to be the second half of the Lemmy documentary that we finished last night. And it's going to be a lot of the artists that were in that documentary. Currently we'll do the weather. It's 30 and sunny here in Denver. It's supposed to be nice until Sunday night, and then we're supposed to get snow again. High of 61 today. It's high at 61 right now, high of 70 today. And then Saturday is supposed to be even warmer. And then Sunday even warmer. And then they said up to 5 inches in place. We don't know. It's too far out. We'll see what happens. So for my family out there in Welland, Ontario, they are still snowing under blizzard conditions. It's been since Wednesday it started snowing on and off. So you guys have had snow for weeks now. So 25 and cloudy, expect light snow, it says, a high of 30, but it looks like you're snowing all day. So, and you said it's kind of blizzardy out there. Just be careful. No drifting. We've already talked about the music he can't, but he's not going to listen to when he goes. No air drumming, none of that. So for BP in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, it is currently 28 and sunny. Scattered light rain showers are expected, a high of 53. For my friends in Arizona, 47 in Tucson, clear, a high of 78. In Phoenix, 55 and clear, a high of 93. And then for me, Michael, in Altamira, must be sunny skies right now, high of 51, but you're getting some rain. So, all right, we're going to start with the word of the day, and it's discipline. I know I've talked about self-discipline before, kind of the same concept. And like I've said before, also, I say these words because I need them, and it helps me to go through. You know, I'm wearing a little, you know, self-discipline to keep me on track with my goals and things that I'm trying to accomplish. So that is why I picked discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want and what you want most, and that is by Abraham Lincoln. And discipline is rarely enjoyable, but almost always profitable, and that's Darren Patrick. So I'm going to talk too long because the thing that I want to play is about 10 minutes. So let's see. The definition of discipline is making yourself do something when you could be doing something more pleasant, like sleeping in 4 hours instead of getting up and exercising every morning. It's a set of rules which are to be followed while trying to achieve a more important goal. Discipline is the difference between talking and doing. It's being able to set goals and actually going for them while not forgetting about everything else that's on your plate as well. Hi, Tolan. Welcome. And welcome, J-K-C-A-K-M-Y-H. It's about being consistent and persistent in the face of challenges and failures. And most importantly, it's about replacing bad habits with better ones. It requires us to be self-aware and to be able to regulate our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors instead of letting ourselves be controlled by them. Disciplined people are aware of their feelings, what triggers them, and how to manage those feelings to be able to achieve the goals in life that they want. So let's listen to, here, let me turn this off so it's not distracting. There was two on discipline. I think I liked this one a little bit better. Let's listen to this one.
There are many people who have the limitations in their minds, who have lost that fire.
And then right after this, Aaron, we'll get into sports.
Most people, ladies and gentlemen, go to their graves living a life far below their potential.
And the question is, if you died today, what ideas, what dreams, what talents, what gifts will die with you? You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine.
It's what you create. It's the habit of what you put in your head. See, someone tell your whole life you're a piece of crap, and part of you go, you're full of it, I'm gonna show you. Lots of people have done that. They never bought it. Or someone tell you you're beautiful your whole life, you go, I'm not really beautiful. So what people tell you, it doesn't matter at all. It's what you snap. It's what you assemble.
You need to believe and know that your one decision, one relationship, one meeting, one book, one thought, one something away from a completely different life. It's an effort play. If you don't have self-confidence, you've never kept the promises you make to yourself. Check that box. If you have self-confidence, you've started to keep the promises you make to yourself. So if I'm going to get up and I'm going to work out, I'm going to do 10 reps in the gym, I do one more. I'm going to do 45 minutes on the treadmill, I do one more. If I'm going to make 10 contacts in a day, I do that and one more.
There's a lot of times where I don't know how I'm gonna move forward, but I ask myself one question: can you take another step? And that answer is always yes.
You're passing through that keyhole, but if you pass through it, then something massive opens up on the other side. And it is definitely the case that disciplinary institutions, universities are exactly that, is they're places of guidance and they're places to encourage people to develop the discipline that's necessary to see beyond the discipline.
That's why we have disciplines,
right? I mean, the words aren't there by accident. And once that discipline was established, then the disciplined mind could explode in every direction, which is precisely what happened. And that's the thing about growing up, is that when you're a teenager and a young adult, you have to sacrifice everything you could have been as a child to be the one thing that you're aiming at.
Yeah, Aaron's back.
And the universities are part and parcel of that process.
Change is automatic, but progress is not. Start today, right now. What do I really want in depth? What are the rituals that will get me there? And then get yourself to start a few of those actions and lock them in place. If you make the changes in yourself, you're going to be proud, and no amount of money or accolades from other people can mirror the feeling of being proud of knowing you've taken back control of your life. Everything in life is always changing. We don't have to work on change.
The major key to the good life. Every day in 1,000 different ways, we are trying to improve ourselves by learning how to do things. We spend a lifetime gathering knowledge in classrooms, in textbooks, in experiences. Now, if knowledge is power, if knowledge is the forerunner to success, then why do we fall short of our objectives? Why, in spite of all our knowledge and in spite of our collective experiences, do we find ourselves aimlessly wandering, settling for a life of existence rather than a life of substance? There may be many answers to this question. Your answers may be different than your associate or your spouse's or your friend's. The fundamental answer is the absence of discipline. Applying all that we know, discipline, self-discipline. We might add one more word here, consistent. Consistent self-discipline. It doesn't really matter how smart you are or how much you know if you don't use it.
And once you're disciplined, like you're like a sharpened sword, man, like a well-tempered blade, and then you can go out there and operate in the world. The reason that discipline is necessary is because you're in massive competing short-term interests. And so the question is then, well, which short-term interests should win out? And the answer to that is none of them. They need to be organized into a hierarchy that makes them functional across time and across individuals.
There are really simple things you do right now to change your life. You can go to experience it that day, and then you get momentum. Day one, day two, day three, day four, and all of a sudden now what used to be hard to do is easy to do.
Thank you, Julian.
You got to understand, anyone can learn anything. And I'm just not willing to settle for a life without passion and aliveness. That's just like there's so much to learn, there's so much to grow. And in my view is, what's next is always better. If I make it so, it's my job to make it so. And I think that's how we have to navigate. But most of us have been conditioned not to, to take a risk.
But once you peel the crust away and see who you really are.
You stay in your comfort zone. You don't take risks.
So I've opened my mind up to a whole other world that most people can't even fathom because they haven't dug deep. So they think, people think I'm crazy because I found a whole other way of living.
Thank you, Bam Bam.
I think they're crazy for never even trying to get to the other side of whatever's in front of them. So what drives me every day is finding more of myself, and being my best is a never-ending journey.
It is said that the master swordsman Nakayama Hakudo would practice drawing his sword some 2,000 times a day at the Hayashizaki Temple. In one marathon of endurance training, he was recorded drawing his sword 10,000 times in a single 24-hour period. We can imagine the sheer speed required to do this. And also the deliberateness to do so many reps in so little time. But why would he do such a thing at all? Because, as Octavian's teacher Arius Didymus said, practice over a long time turns into second nature. We don't rise to the occasion, we fall to the level of our training. The samurai Musashi was once challenged by a warrior named Miyake Gunbei, a man who thought himself one of the best in the world. On his third attack, frustrated by his lack of success, Gunbei charged at Musashi in an aggressive lunge. Musashi, having prepared for this exact scenario countless times, replied, "That is not what you should do," then parried the blow with one sword and watched as the man gashed his own cheek against Musashi's other sword. How had he known? Practice. Chotan Siki Ren was Musashi's phrase. Training from morning to night. Oh, you've done that. Okay, do it some more. And after that, more, more, more. 1,000 days of training to develop. Musashi would write 10,000 days of training to polish. For a samurai, there was no such thing as pretty good. If a pretty good swordsman met a better fighter, he would die. It's like the Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Bradley's observation. When you are not practicing, refining, working, somewhere someone else is, and when you meet them, they will beat you or kill you. Gunbei was lucky enough to learn this lesson and live to tell about it. In fact, after Musashi treated the man's wound, Gunbei accepted that he was outmatched and became Musashi's student, training and practicing under him until he was no longer prone to the mistakes that come from such rashness. Look, this is not a drill. There is no greatness without practice. Lots of practice. Repetitive practice. Exhausting, bone-crunching, soul-crushing practice. And yet, what emerges from this practice is the opposite of those three feelings. Energy. Strength, confidence, you deserve that. Yes, your body will burn, but that's the evidence. From that burning comes real heat, heat you can apply to your craft, to your work, to your life. The cellist Pablo Casals practiced continually late into his life, even long after he was widely considered a master, because he believed he was still making progress. In fact, we might say that progress and practice are synonyms. You can't have the former without the latter. And the latter is worthless without the former. Drawing the sword from the scabbard. Thrusting. Blocking. To build up your stamina for those skills, you lift weights, you do conditioning. To put it all together, you spar. It's the same with music. You can jam with other talented musicians. You can put all those sessions together to learn new songs. But before all that, as Castles did, you can simply practice your scales in your bedroom for hours upon hours. What are those scales for you? You better know, and you better be doing them. No matter what you do, practice will make you better. Florence Nightingale wanted young nurses to understand that nursing is an art that required as hard a preparation as any painter or sculptor's work. Churchill spent many evenings practicing his impromptu performances. Only you know what it will look like to train in your art like a samurai, an Olympic athlete, a master in pursuit of excellence. Only you will know what you need to practice from morning until night, what to repeat 10,000 times. It won't be easy, but in that burden is also freedom and confidence. The pleasure of the flow state, the rhythm of second nature, the quiet calmness of knowing that from the practice, you'll know exactly what to do when it counts. The pride and the dependability of doing it too.
And it's when you stop. This is you. You're not supposed to play. The documentary that we watched last night, we finished watching, I should say, on Lemmy from Motorhead. It was amazing to me because he was disciplined enough that he's famous for playing bass. But when he got into Motorhead, he didn't know how to play the bass guitar. And so look where he came. You know, he just practiced. He practiced. And another thing that he did that I appreciate is that he shared that knowledge with other people, and he didn't care. From all genres of people loved him and thought he was just so awesome because he took the time to be with those people. So it's not easy being disciplined. Stick to your plan. But if you start with even one of this, one little strategy, one little goal to try to aim towards, make it a habit each month. I'm doing it. I've been doing stairs every day to train for that stair climb on, I believe it's the 26th or the 27th of April. Which one is it, Aaron? Do you know?
I think it's the 27th of April.
Oh, let me turn you up. 27th? Yeah, I've been doing the stairs every day, 15 stairs up, 15 stairs down. I'm only counting up, and I've gotten to 63. And when I started, jeez, I could barely do 15. But let me tell you, I'm getting a nice tight tushy. There's some benefits for it. So, but I'm pushing myself. And each day, like it said, I try to do a little bit more, a little bit more. Some days I don't. Some days, you know, my basic minimum that I have to do daily is 25, going up 25. So I do that each time, but sometimes I can't do 61 or 62, you know, but at least I'm trying. So you got this. Believe in yourself. I believe in you. Let's do a couple jokes and then we'll get into Aaron's sports. All right. What does a nosy pepper do? Do you know, Aaron?
No business.
Oh, it gets all up in your business. Yes. All right. What has two butts and kills people?
To what?
Butts.
Butts?
Yeah, butts. An assassin. Assassin. If you spell assassin, it's assassin. So you'll always remember that. Assassin. So, yeah. Okay. Did you get it? Did you get it, Aaron?
That was an eye roller.
Oh, okay. Is that what you were doing, rolling your eyes? I haven't played this music in a while. All right. We have Aaron in the house from taking a little break off and doing some stuff. And so he is going to do sports, start doing the sports. How's it going, Aaron?
It's going good. I'm happy to be back. I mean, I was going to say, I kept myself busy while watching a ton of sports since I was gone.
I know, Yancey. I know you did. You were always watching it. I know. And you know what? I have to add it every single day. I don't know what's going on. Everything that I download, I have to add every single morning. It's strange. But yeah, we're glad to have you back because I haven't been learning about sports, just what they talk about on the radio.
Yep.
So what do you have for us first? WWE?
Yeah, Friday Night SmackDown. This is from the 15th of March.
Uh-huh.
This is before, I think, the start of the NCAA tournament, I think. So
okay.
They're having these qualifying tag team matches because I heard the Judgment Day is going to have they're going to put their undisputed tag team titles on the line at WrestleMania in a six-pack ladder match.
Okay, what does that mean? What are they going to do?
So it's going to be them versus five other tag teams for the title.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then they have to go up to the ladder and try to take the money off the top of the ladder. Is it that one?
Or something. I'll.
The money's up in a.
No more of it once it.
I see. I don't know. I remember before there was like money in like a briefcase and they had to grab the briefcase.
Yeah, that's money in the bank. That's money in
okay.
the bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't think Damian Priest has ever cashed in his contract yet. I don't think.
Oh.
The briefcase.
Okay. So he's the last one who got it?
Yeah. He's the one on the men's side who hasn't cashed in his Money in the Bank contract yet.
Okay. Gotcha. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? What does the contract mean? What does the contract say?
So if you win Money in the Bank contract, you basically get to. You basically get up to a whole year to try to cash it in for a championship opportunity.
Oh, so like, let's say he's at the bottom of the barrel and he's losing. He can cash it in and be in the tournament that he didn't work himself up to be in. Does that
it's
make any sense?
Basically for any championship, like the World Heavyweight Championship, Intercontinental Championship.
Right. So he can use it to get into it, even if he didn't win to get into it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if he didn't qualify to get into it.
Contender, basically.
Wait, so he can just steal the title away from somebody and not even fight anybody for it? What the heck?
Well,
what kind of rules are those?
That's what
wow.
it is.
Wow, yeah, BP says yes. Hey, that's not cool. I mean, I can see them letting him in to have to fight for it, but just take it away?
I've seen highlights of, Seth Rollins did it once at WrestleMania a couple years, like a long time ago. Like I saw the highlights, he ran in with his briefcase and he cashed it in.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. So... The Guard Hotel Phasma defeated LWO in a tag team match. They'll face off against a new match Republic for a spot at the six-pack ladder match at WrestleMania tonight. And then Randy Orton defeated Grayson Waller in a match. And SmackDown, I should say, The Rock had like some kind of little concert making fun of Cody Rhodes or something because they're doing that big tag team match.
Yeah.
And and he was talking about something about the belt and beating Cody Rhodes with the belt. And so I just thought it was completely messed up.
He was trying to say, he was kind of, I think I saw some of that.
Yeah, it was, I'm just like, really, dude?
Still
hope Cody Rhodes finishes his story at WrestleMania this year. Because I feel like he should have won last year.
Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
I need to have pictures of all these guys because I'm trying to remember which one is who.
Cody Rhodes is the American Nightmare.
Oh, is he the one with the white head? His hair is
Yeah, he also has that skull tattoo on his
Yeah. I know who he is because, okay, now that's what I saw. The Rock was like saying, and he slapped the Rock. Didn't he slap the Rock?
Yeah, Cody slapped the Rock.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. He was like, they had this dramatic music. Dun, dun, dun. And he went green. He looked like they put like a green, and he's staring at the Rock, and he's staring at the Rock, and then whack, he smacks them. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
All righty.
I think that was like the week before, I think.
Yeah. They showed it. Yeah. This past week, they were showing it again.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So now I remember who Cody Rhodes is now. Sorry. Go ahead.
So then I watched the Pac-12 tournament final, but this is the final one because some schools from the Pac-12 are moving to different conferences. So this is the final Pac-12 tournament. And our Colorado Buffaloes were in it, the men's team. They ended up losing to Oregon 75-68, but they ended up getting into the tournament. They won their first four play-in game against Boise State on the 19th of March. Actually, it was the 20th of March, 60-53. And then Colorado State won their play-in game 67-42 over Virginia. But sadly, Colorado State got eliminated from the tournament yesterday, losing to Texas by 12.
Oh, they're out.
Yep, but Colorado plays today. They're playing Florida in the first round of the tournament. Now, I should be home in time for that because it starts around 2:30. Because most games, they start the first game, I think yesterday, I remember, started around like 10:15, 10:20, something like that. And well, they just went on all day.
But you can also tape them, can't you? Or do they not let you do that?
You can record them if you want to. But yeah. I was just watching like certain games on certain channels. That's why I was like flipping between them. Like if one game was on a commercial, I'll flip to another channel where there was another game going on. And since it was just like the first day of the full-on madness going on, like, they had the scores on the
full-on madness.
Yeah, the full-on. They had the scores on the top of the screen, so you can kind of keep track of the games while you're watching the one game on a certain channel because it's CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV are the four channels that were broadcasting the games.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a whole lot of work going on. I remember when I worked back in the day at Pulte Homes, and we would go out to lunch during this time, and the bars, parts of the bars were just packed. Whatever restaurant you would go in to eat was just packed full of guys in suits sitting there watching sports. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was wearing my Colorado State Rams long sleeve shirt pretty much whole day waiting for that game to start against Texas. But like I was watching that game with Lewis, and Colorado State was just not shooting the ball well at all.
Was that the one last night?
Yeah, and Colorado State only scored 11 points in the first half, which is really sad.
That is sad.
I know. I've never seen Colorado State score that few amount of points in a first half ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So
Go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
I hope they get back to the tournament and win their first round tournament game again next year, because I was happy when they beat Virginia in the first four game, but then lost in their game yesterday.
So who do you have? Who are you rooting for today that's playing?
Pick wise, I of course have Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
My UConn Huskies. I'm rooting for them. The Auburn Tigers. Rooting for them as well. I have to go back, look over my picks because I only got four of them wrong yesterday out of 16.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was really, it was really good. The thing was, because the thing is with the, I don't fill out an entire bracket like everybody else in the United States does. I just pick the winners round by round.
Well, yeah, but you're the reason, yeah, that's the easier way to do it. But they don't, they, you're supposed to do it ahead of time so that you're not changing it and all that.
Right. You know, I know what I mean? But once I know the matchup for the next round, I'll just be, I'll think it over, and then I pick this team to win, and then I'll wait for that game to start and see who wins.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Okay. Well, that's it. And how long is this going on for? Is it over a week? Is it 2 weeks?
Something like that. And it will finish in, I think, like the first week of April. Like the first week of April in with the Final Four in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the men's Final Four will be in Phoenix, Arizona. And I heard the women's Final Four is going to be in Cleveland.
Now, are you watching that? I've heard you talking about, excuse me, I've heard you talking about
that one too, because the Colorado State women's team is in it as well. And they're playing against now, Drake in their first round matchup.
Now, has it already started, the women's the match, March Madness,
yeah,
for the
did.
Women?
They played their first four play-in games yesterday. So I'm going to try to tune into like ESPN and see how the women's tournament is going.
Well, yeah, you got to tell us about that. All right, there. All right. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Hi. He just left. Elijah the Great came in and came out. Sorry, I was in a different screen. Sorry, Elijah the Great. Goodbye. All right. So, yeah, watch some of that so you can let us know how the women do.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a women's team that you like better than the rest?
The what?
Is there a women's basketball team that you are rooting for to win the whole thing?
I would like to see Iowa win because I'm become a fan of that Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah.
She became the all-time Division I scorer, like all-time both.
Yeah, she's crazy good.
Yeah, she's really good, yeah. Like, she's also in that State Farm commercial with Jimmy Butler.
I don't know who that is, Aaron. And we watch different channels, so you probably see more sports-related commercials than I do.
Yeah,
so
like, I'll have to show you sometime. Like, Caitlin Clark is in this commercial. Jimmy Butler is in it. And then also Reggie Miller shows up last.
Oh, okay.
Like towards the end, because it's that Jake from State. It's those Jake from State Farm commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, like, you can get insurance for that old Pacer. And then Reggie Miller shows up and he says, did somebody call for an old Pacer?
Oh, you know what? I think I saw that. I remember seeing that end of that when I was sitting down with you guys. So I think I've seen that commercial. I remember that part of it.
Yeah, because it makes sense because Reggie Miller used to play for the Indiana Pacers in his playing days. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And don't forget, at the end of this list, we want to talk about your friend's gelato company too. Okay. So are you done with March Madness and moving on to the Denver Nuggets or no? You still have March Madness?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Okay, now the Nuggets.
The Nuggets won. This game was back on Saturday, the 17th, and the Nuggets lost at the buzzer, 107-105. Like, they had the game in their hands. They had their game, and I couldn't believe that Denver lost at the buzzer when they had the game in their hands with less than 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Denver 105, Dallas 102 or something like that. But yeah, it was just hard to see them lose at the buzzer.
And then Dallas just hit a shot and
yeah, Kyrie Irving hit the game winning shot and Denver ended up losing at the buzzer.
That's bad. That's crazy. But at least it was something like that and they didn't get, you know, their butts handed to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I checked the Nuggets score this morning. They actually beat the Knicks last night by 13.
I was going to ask. I thought that they were playing last night. Oh,
yeah. Lewis watches that. He has an app on his tablet called Dufo or something where
because
on a link, it'll bring you up to the internet browser. So that way you'll be able to watch the game.
It's crazy because we can't, and it's, I don't know how many years it's been. It seems like it's been 7, 8, 9, 10 years. It seems like it's been forever that they have been, it's the Altitude Sports, right? And somebody else, and they're fighting.
And Infinity have had like this debacle where they can't, like,
they're not playing the games.
A deal to, and this is the same, this is getting, becoming the same reason now for the Rockies now, because they don't have a channel to show the games on.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane if you're a Colorado sports fan.
Starting here around the corner.
Yeah, and you won't be able to watch them either. It's insane. I know. I keep complaining about Xfinity, but we're waiting for this month to be over. And I don't know if anybody streams, but let me know what your streaming thing is, what you guys do. I guess the main thing I'm trying to keep telling these guys, if you had a couple of channels, what would you want to watch so that, you know, we know what to kind of look for. I know Aaron is like all sports things, so I don't know what type of streaming places out there are just sports, but we got to figure that out because it's insane the amount of money you pay. And then on top of it, they have like Xfinity has this $20-something sports charge every single month. It's like a fee. They charge you this fee. And it's like, are you kidding me? We can't even watch our sports teams and you're charging us this tax. It's insane. So we're trying to get rid of that. I don't want to pay them any more money. I'm tired because they call, you call them with a complaint. They're like, oh, you've been a loyal person with us for 15 years. I'm like, yeah, I know. but I just want to, I think streaming is becoming the new thing. And on top of it too, is the internet. There's a whole lot of different places that, cause we have it all with them. We have the TV, internet, everything with them. So it's trying to get break from them and kind of know what is going to be available to us in Alabama, because it's completely different out there. In every area you move to, it's a different like cable company. So that's why I just wanted to stream.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking into that. Go myself, ahead, Aaron. Because I also have, I have ESPN. I've had ESPN Plus for a while because the reason why I got it, I signed up for that like years ago because of the Avalanche thing, because I couldn't ESPN, watch the Avalanche because of the whole local television thing. But I've watched like other events like on ESPN Plus. Like I remember watching like one NFL game on there.
Yeah,
like they'll have like some games you can watch like on demand on there, which is nice. And they also have those like 30 for 30 sports documentaries.
I love the documentaries. Documentaries are awesome. While you watch the sports ones, I'll watch the music ones. So there we go. Oh, BP, are you really? I don't know if that was a butt dial or not. Oh, hi, BP.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Good. Yeah.
Hey, dog. You were asking about the sports one. I just sent you the thing. They have a Disney, Hulu, ESPN Plus all together on one app that you can stream.
Yeah, I've seen commercials for that. It's like a bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only have ESPN Plus just by itself.
Yeah, this one has the Disney, the Hulu, and ESPN Plus. And like Kaney said, the Hulu can let you watch live TV. So you get the best of
both. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like, do you have to have it for every single TV? That's what one of my questions was going to be, you know, if you have one. That's good. Yeah, I don't watch. I like watching the documentaries on YouTube and different things like that. So trying to learn about all this is, and then not trying to have a whole bunch of streaming that it costs you the same amount that Comcast costs you. You know what I mean? I can see that adding up too. Do you mostly stream, BP?
No, I have Dish.
Oh, and that's streaming now too, does it? Or was it Direct TV? One of those satellite ones you can stream now instead of having. TV. Oh, okay. They were saying instead of having the dish on the side of your house.
Yeah, I guess you can stream it now. Well, I can't remember which one it is, but
yeah. Crazy. All right. Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
And to get back to you asking earlier about the wrestling with the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
What it is it, once a year they have the contest, they have the Money in the Bank ladder matches. And the person who wins it has up to 1 year to cash in on any of the titles. So, like he said, the heavyweight, the IC, the U.S. title and that. And like he was saying a couple of years ago, Seth Rollins said they had a one-on-one match with Roman Reigns versus, I forget who it was, and Seth Rollins came in.
No, it was Seth Rollins and Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, thank you, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then he came in and made it a three-way and won the title.
Oh, okay. So now that other guy who you said Aaron has the Money in the Bank,
Damian Priest from Judgment Day.
So he's going to have to cash it in then soon, right? Yeah, or he has to cash it in. Is... Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He can't. Hi, Bam.
I mean, I remember he tried cashing it in like twice, like two times before, but he didn't. It wasn't successful.
Okay.
It's nothing got in the way.
All right. Well, we have another WWE fan on the line. Go ahead, Bam Bam.
The WrestleMania six-pack ladder match is sort of like the Money in the Bank. What they're going to have is they're going to have the tag team title matches hung from a rope over top of the ring, sort of like the Money in the Bank.
Okay.
So the teams have to like crawl up the ladder and take the titles off of the rings up there, and then they win the championship. And there's going to be six teams, which are undetermined. There's a few determined teams, but they're not all totally set up yet. But so basically, it's going to be the Judgment Day tag team versus five other teams, and whoever wins leaves as the undisputed tag team champions. But it's just like Money in the Bank format with the ladder and the case over the ring, but instead of it being the
Money in
the
Bank case, okay, thank you, BP.
Instead of it being the Money in the Bank case, it's going to be the tag team title belt suspended from the roof.
Okay. And do they get to keep it for a year too?
No. What? Once you win your tag team champions, you're the tag team champions until you lose it.
Okay.
The Money in the Bank just gives you 365 days to cash in, because the next pay-per-view, you can't have two Money in the Banks floating around.
Right.
Yeah. The next Money in the Bank's supposed to be in Toronto.
Yeah, there's going to be wrestling in Toronto on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, only about an hour and a half from my house.
I was just going to say, how far is that from you?
About an hour and a half.
I'm sure it's a pretty penny, huh, to go and see it.
Extremely expensive, and even like if I was to go there, which I know I probably won't be, even parking would cost me like $50 per night.
Damn.
Yeah, a lot of people, what they do is... they'll take the TTC, which is the Toronto Transit Commission, like buses and stuff into the arena area instead of parking.
Right. Yeah.
But it would be way too much money for me to go and do it.
Gosh, can you remember back in the day when I was a youngster and we'd go to concerts and stuff, the parking was like $5. Here, $5. You give them $5. Gosh, that's insane. It's insane. Whoa.
Even when I take me and the kids to like a local indie show, I end up dropping about $100-$150 by the time we pay to get in, get everybody dinner and everything like that. It just gets
something to eat, something to drink. Yeah.
Yeah. And those tickets are only like, I think they're $25 each, but if you buy three, you get them for 60 or something like that. So it's a discount on a multiple purchase, but I always have to buy five tickets, and then I end up buying like two whole pizzas. Yes.
You got a small little army to feed.
And then all the kids want autographs, which is always fun. And, you know,
yeah.
On average, when I go to a local indie show every few months, it costs me about $150. So a WWE event, it probably costs me about $1,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everything from t-shirts to everything is so expensive. It's so expensive. It's sad that it has to be that way, because it doesn't cost that much to make. That's for sure. All those t-shirts and stuff.
They make a fortune off of t-shirts, like Stone Cold.
Heck yeah.
Just on residuals from him selling t-shirts, he made over $4 million in 1 year.
Oh my gosh, I believe it. 100%. Yeah. I mean, the t-shirts are now what, $40-$50? It's insane.
I'm not sure. I haven't bought one. The only time that I got an actual proper WWE shirt was from you guys. Thank you very much once again.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Me and my dad went to when it was in
DC. Yeah, and the thing was is that they even had special SmackDown t-shirts, you know, like for the event, and they sold out of them. They couldn't even, and every single time they said that they went to go, they were thinking, oh, well, maybe the lines will be less long, you know, at this time when more people are out watching. Nope. He said the lines never went down. They never went down.
I literally have the bag on my bedroom wall beside the picture that Aaron drew me last year.
Oh, that's great, because that's why I sent it to you. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's got to have the bag too. I have to send it for, I'm sure they paid 10 cents for that bag. He's going to get the bag too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I got it stuck to my wall right beside the picture.
Aww. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, WWE. So, well, Aaron, do you want to go ahead and talk about Monday Night Raw while Bam Bam's here?
Yeah, this is the last thing that I have on here. Because I did the March Madness and all that, and Sami Zayn signed his contract for the Intercontinental Championship. He's going to have at WrestleMania against Gunther.
Gunther's the one with the little the little tidy pants he wears.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I remember these guys.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they actually finally put a title on Sami Zayn.
Yeah, Sami Zayn's one of my favorite superstars in the WWE, along with Cody Rhodes.
Now, Sami Zayn's a ginger, right?
Yeah, he's a guy who has like a beard.
Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking the right guy. He's never won a champion?
Bloodline anymore.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about. He's never won a champion before? Championship?
No, he was undisputed tag team champions with that other guy, like Kevin Owens.
Yeah, okay. They're the tag team champions, and he's won NXT titles, but he's never won any major gold in the actual WWE yet.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I remember vaguely when he went on the bad side for a little bit, and he was on that one team, and then
yeah, he was with the Bloodline back. And Roman Reigns. I've seen clips of that one moment when he hit Roman Reigns in the back with a steel chair, like turned on him.
Wow. Oh no!
I think that was like at the
Welcome.
Last year, I think.
Yeah, the WWE really loves chairs, don't they? They always pull those chairs out from underneath.
They literally have a match called Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Oh my!
Yeah, it's called the TLC match: Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
That's funny. Yeah, because I always laugh when they go up to underneath the stage. It's like, oh, they're bringing out a chair or a ladder. A chair or a ladder, it seems.
What's
funny
about that, I was watching the Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax last women's standing match, and Becky Lynch pulled out a fire extinguisher.
Oh.
Yeah. That was a darn good match, eh?
Yeah, I was happy to see Becky Lynch win that match.
Hi, Crystal, welcome.
Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch. All right.
When Becky or when Nia Jax went to Australia, I had no idea she was actually born in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was her versus Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley for the women's title, right?
Yeah, and Rhea Ripley is sort of the pride of Australia at the moment. And she mentioned on stage that she was actually born and technically an Australian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea. Me either.
Little interesting stupid fact that I remember.
Nothing stupid. We all learn something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that thing with like when you watch Jeopardy, you learn something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron. Well, thank you so much for Aaron being back from his long hiatus and taking a break. We all kind of need that every once in a while. So he will be back every Friday, and WWE is going to be a part of that. So if you're into that, he will always have a little bit of something about the WWE and then the sports that he watched for that week. So thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. That was awesome.
And I can't wait to continue doing this again.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me up, and great to hear you get back on there, Doug.
Hi guys. Everybody's... Oh wait, we gotta talk about the gelato thing.
Oh yes. Aaron's friends, he's known these two since
middle school.
Middle school. middle school, two stand up young gentlemen who have, you know, that when people have really good character, right? That they were part of just being Aaron's friends, mentor, helping him through his life. And they've always, ever since then, they've been friends and they check on him and stuff. These two have started a gelato company based out of Colorado, of course. And it's a gelato that has more protein. I don't have the container up here with me, but it's their protein-based, no sugars and all that kind of stuff.
It has less sugar, I think it says 40% less sugar on it.
Okay, less sugar. No gluten? Was that it? There was a whole bunch of them.
I think it's gluten-free.
Why don't you look at the container? You're right next to it. Look at one of them and kind of read what's on it. What's the name? Your Mama or Yo Mama? What was it?
Whoa Mama Protein Gelato.
Whoa Mama Protein Gelato. I know that they sent us a whole package yesterday of one of each flavors in dry ice. So I don't know if they can do that everywhere, but they do sell it at King Supers. So you can ask them to carry it. And it's, I tried the espresso chocolate chip one and it is so good. So which one are you holding, Aaron?
Well, the one that I had last time was the mint cookies and cream.
Uh-huh. And what does it say on the package?
Oh.
You have to read what it says on the package.
So per pint, it's 31 grams of protein.
Okay.
There's 500 grams of per serving of omega-3s.
Okay.
It's low in lactose.
Okay.
Good source of calcium and protein.
Okay.
10 grams of protein per serving, low lactose, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're going on the more healthy route for people that work out and stuff. On the gelato end, and they're delicious. They come in little pints. So if you see them again, it's not Yo Mama. What is it called? Whoa Mama?
Whoa, W-H-O-A.
Okay, Mama. Gelato?
Yes.
Okay. And it was, I know there was a peanut butter one, a mint chocolate chip, an espresso, a strawberry. Was there any more than that?
There was the mint.
Mint chocolate chip. Mint, I already said that. No,
mint cookies and cream. So.
Oh, mint cookies and cream.
So vanilla, strawberry, espresso, peanut butter, and the chocolate mint.
Right.
Yeah, those ones.
Okay. Yeah, they're really good. I don't know how much they cost per the pint. I didn't.
They're close to $8.50 at King Supers.
King Supers. So it's pricey for a pint, but again, if you don't eat the whole thing at one time, like Aaron did,
he's like, it was so good.
I said, I know, but that's too much protein for you.
I know. I was just there. I was just like, screw it. I'm just going to eat the whole thing.
You don't do that. Anyway, if you see that, try one out and support them. But yeah, so thank you, Aaron. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. See you next Friday.
All right. Bye. Love you. All right. So we're going to get right into the music from the Lemmy documentary that we watched last night. Again, I would recommend it for anybody who likes music. Again, I didn't know what to expect when I first started it because I don't necessarily listen to that type of music, but man, was it an interesting documentary to watch. So a little bit about Lemmy. His real name is Ian Fraser Kilmister. Is it Kilmister? I know I said it wrong when I was listening to one of the guys pronounce his name, and I know I said it wrong. So Ian is his first name. He was born in 1945. He died in 2015, better known as Lemmy Kilmister. or Lemmy. He was a British musician. He was the founder and lead singer and bassist and primary songwriter of the rock band Motorhead, of which he was only the only continuous member and a member of Hawkwind from 1971 to 75. He's been a part of a lot of other bands also. He joined the local band, the Rainmakers, and then the Motown Sect, who played Northern clubs for 3 years in 1965. Then he joined the Rocking Vickers. The Rocking Vickers moved to Manchester, where they shared a flat together. Once he left the Rocking Vickers, Lemmy moved to London in 1967. He shared a flat with Noel Redding, bassist of the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and with Neville Chester, their road manager. He got a job as a roadie for the band. In 1968, he joined the psychedelic rock band San Gopal under the name of Ian Willis and recorded the album Escalator, which was released in 1969. After meeting Simon King at a shopping center in Chelsea in 69, he joined the band Opal Butterfly, but the group soon disbanded after failed to raise enough interest with their singles. So we're going to start off with, of course, a Motorhead song. And it is Love Me Forever. And I don't know what's going on with all my music this week. Okay, so a little bit about Love Me Forever. It's a powerful rock anthem, again, by Motorhead. It is a love song that delves into the complexities of a relationship and it captures the raw emotions and vulnerability that come with being in love. Lemmy delivers the lyrics with his characteristic graveling voice, adding an extra layer of sincerity and emotion to the song. So here it is. It's gonna wake you up. Love Me Forever. Or maybe this. It's kind of sad in the story, in the documentary, it talks about one of the girls that he was, that really, like, he really, really, really loved, and she died of an overdose, and he found her, and after that, he kind of didn't, sounds like he kind of didn't let anybody in real close. Welcome, new If Cupcake Day. This song, Love Me Forever, holds a special place in the heart of Motorhead fans and has become one of their signature songs. The track showcases Motorhead's ability to create music that is both heavy and soulful, stunning audiences with their unwavering dedication to rocking out with everything they've got. Love Me Forever, Motorhead, off the album 1916, released in 1991. kind of don't want to stop when he's playing that. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to a little Ozzy Osbourne, the song Mama, I'm Coming Home. Ozzy was in the documentary talking about Lemmy, of course. And I believe he wrote this song, right? Yeah, he did. Well, he wrote the words to the song. Ozzy wrote the song, the music, I believe. Yeah, okay. Lemmy wrote the words. Okay, that's later on. Ozzy wrote the song with guitarist Zakk Wylde in the liner notes of the 1997 compilation, The Oz Man Cometh. He wrote, I had been walking around with this melody in my head for a couple of years, but never got the chance to finish it until I was working with Zakk and No More Tears album. At that time, Zakk and I were doing a lot of writing on the piano. Mama, I'm Coming Home was also something I'd say on the phone to my wife near the end of the tour. So Lemmy from the group Motorhead wrote the lyrics. Lemmy wrote the words of Mama in less than 2 hours one afternoon. He had been writing me three sets of lyrics, marveled Ozzy in an interview. He just writes them as if he was writing a message. It's like he wrote this how long ago? And they're not good lyrics. They're freaking amazing lyrics, but he used the other words. So here it is, Mama, I'm Coming Home. And this is one of my favorite Ozzy Osbourne songs, Ozzy Osbourne.
Times have changed, and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Times go by, it seems to be. You could have been a better friend to me.
Ibert, oh, Mama, just when I say hi, they leave.
Mama, I'm coming home. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad, it's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. Selfish love, yeah, we're both alone. Right before the fall, yeah. But I'm gonna take this heart of stone. I just gotta let it go. I've seen your face a hundred times.
Isn't it funny how you can understand him better when he's singing than if he's just talking? Comes out more clearly. That's Mama, I'm Coming Home, Ozzy Osbourne, off the album No More Tears in 1991. So another amazing thing, like I said, that just so many different people just loved him from different genres of music that you would never think, because he comes across... He's a rock and roll dude, right? You look at him and you might be like, oh my gosh, he's not going to, you know, be kind or nice or whatever. And he was so the opposite of that persona. Yeah, he does flip everybody off. He likes to flip people off, but he was there to help other people succeed. And he was never that cocky rock star that made it and, you know, that was above everybody else. He was just down at the level of everybody else. To the fact that he still lived when he passed away, he was still living in the same apartment at the same time, you know, that he started off. You know, he's walked down the same streets to the same rainbow bar and hung out with the same people. He was never better than anybody else. So after Hawkwind, Lemmy formed a new band called Bastard with guitarist Larry Wallace and drummer Lucas Fox. Lemmy and Took were friends, and Took was the stepfather of Lemmy's son, Paul. When his manager informed him that the band by the name of Bastard would never get a slot at the Top of the Pops, Lemmy changed the name of the band to Motorhead and the title of this last song he had written for Hawkwind. So, yeah. All right. We're going to move on to the next song. And it is We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister. Now, Dee Snider was, again, in the movie talking about his relationship with Lemmy. So that is why he is on this list. A little bit about the song, We're Not Going to Take It. In an interview with Twisted Sister, Dee Snider explained with We're Not Going to Take It, whether I was singing it about parents, my teachers, my boss, my peers, people around me, I felt it was important not to define it by actually naming names and singing, Dad, you're a trite and jaded. I hate my teachers too. And thus the song has had life in sporting events, political rallies, protests, pretty much anybody who's not talking something from, who's not taking something from somebody else, they're going to break out. We're not going to take it all over the world. So pretty smart thinking. Here is We're Not Going to Take It, Twisted Sister. Single reached 21 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart, making it Twisted Sister's only top 40 single. It's the band's highest selling single in the United States, having been certified gold. We're Not Gonna Take It, Twisted Sister, off the album Stay Hungry in 1984. All right. So the next, gosh, I must tap that too hard or something and it starts to play again. The next one I have is Institutionalized by the Suicidal Tendencies. Robert Trujillo was in the movie, again, talking about Lemmy. It was released in 1983 as the only single from the self-titled debut album, Institutionalized. Is one of the band's most popular songs and has remained a live staple since it was first played in 1982. Although Institutionalized was never a hit in the charts, the song received regular airplay on, of course, the radio station I talk about, KROQ, K-Rock, with DJ Rodney Bergenheimer. Added to the playlist, and it ranked at number 23 on the radio station's top one of 6.7 songs of 1983 countdown list. I tried to find that list, and it wouldn't come up. Institutionalized, because that was the year I graduated. Institutionalized was also the first hardcore punk song to receive significant airplay on MTV and was considered to be one of the songs that has defined both genres. I'm really shocked that somebody else hasn't come up with like a MTV that just plays music videos and nothing else. No, Mom, I Got Pregnant for the Fifth Time or something like that. Just music videos. Here is Institutionalized Social Suicidal Tendencies. Here we go.
I try hard to do it, and when I take my time, it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate
real hard, it just doesn't work out.
Everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, they might, you know, even notice that you even have a lot of problems with it, you know? Maybe get away, and like, maybe you should talk about it, you feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know? I'll figure it out.
I see Jay, the Christian worship traveler. I remember when this came out. CJ did not like this song. He left. He's like, I'm out of here. If she wouldn't give it to me, all I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. It sounds funny, but I think back in those days, I remember, you know, having friends that, well, even me too. I kind of went through my punk stage, and when I worked at Tower Records and stuff, and my hair was black. And, you know, my mom thought the same thing. What's wrong with you? What are you going through? Why are you having to do this? Blah, blah, blah. Because you were just kind of expressing yourself. And I wasn't on drugs or doing anything. I was just liking that music and expressing myself. And that was it. And I think that's kind of what they were talking about with this song. Institutionalized Suicidal Tendencies. And that's off the album Suicidal Tendencies in 1983. All right, we're going to move on to Metallica, who, oh, dang, his name just came to my head. I swear, the singer, he reminds me of Bam Bam. I tell him, he looks like he could be his brother. I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks like you. This song, Murder One, Metallica. James Hetfield, there's his name. The song is a tribute to the late Motorhead frontman, Lemmy Kilmister. Speaking during an interview, the vocalist, James Hetfield, said, Motorhead had a lot to do with Metallica sitting here right now. Lemmy, as an entity, a kind of father figure, helped us a lot. Almost every single one of the people in that documentary has said that. He was unafraid, and he was a character, and he was himself. We all respected that so much. He did his own thing to his last breath. No matter who you are or how, you could not be inspired by that. Lars Ulrich explained how following Motorhead around on tour as a fan helped him want to take Metallica seriously. The drummer said, when I came back to Southern California, I called James up and said, listen, we've got to give this a shot. Motorhead is the catalyst. Murder One was the name of Lemmy's favorite amplifier on stage. Speaking to Gary Moore of 95.5 KLOS radio station, James Hetfield said of the amp, I loved being murdered every night by that thing, man. He was such an icon, such an inspiration to us as a band, Hetfield added regarding the late Motorhead frontman. There's certainly no way we'd be around if there was no Motorhead. And now, you know, to see your idiot, your immortal one, actually, and you know, to see your idol, not idiot, your idol, your immortal one, actually be mortal, it hit us pretty hard. So I felt lyrically, it makes sense to acknowledge him and how much he meant to our lives. So here is Metallica with the song Murder One. It is just kicking you out, hey, ma'am, ma'am. The Man in Black. So Metallica and Motorhead have a shared history. During a 1995 gig at the Whiskey A Go Go in Hollywood, members of Metallica celebrated Lemmy's 50th birthday by taking the stage as a Wiggles tribute band called the Lemmys. 10 years later, Motorhead won the 2005 Best Metal Performance Grammy for their version of Metallica's song Whiplash. The clip tells the story of Lemmy's career for his early days of a Hawkwind and incorporated some of the late Motorhead's front man's most iconic imagery as his trademark bass rifle pose. And that's about the music video that was directed by Robert Valley. Murder One, Metallica, off the album Hardwired to Self-Destruction in 2016. And yeah, like I was saying, James was in the documentary a few different times talking about Lemmy and their experience with them. All right, the next song that I have on the list is Liar by the Rollins Band. Henry Rollins was in the documentary. You might know him from Black Flag, right? The song Liar by the Rollins Band holds a deep significance and resonates with listeners worldwide. It tackles the theme of deceit, hypocrisy prevalent in our society. It explores the frustration and disillusionment one faces when confronted with individuals who manipulate and deceive others for their own personal gain. Jeez, this was written in 1994 and it's already gotten worse than that. The lyrics convey a strong message of standing up against the dishonest behaviors and breaking free from the chains of falsehood. So here it is, Liar, the Rollins Band. See, Bam's having the same problem. I know it's kicking him out. So I don't know what the heck is going on. It keeps logging me out when my screen is off. Huh, that's strange. I know yesterday, who was I trying to listen to? I think it was South Oz, man. He's the only one I really kind of go into live. And I was trying to, you know, put it in my pocket. And every time I closed the screen to put it in my pocket, it would stop. It would, the volume would stop. That's weird that it's doing that, because it's kind of like, how do you, when I go walking and I'm listening to something, you know, I don't want to have my screen open because it might go into something else. See, that's strange, huh? I wonder if it's part of their new, I don't know why that would be some security thing.
Everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop all your defenses and you drop all
that's
your
crazy.
Fears, and you trust me completely. I'm perfect in every way.
So the song Liar was inspired by Henry Rollins' personal encounter with, again, deceitful people. It's just saying the same thing. Liar, the Rollins Band. The album is Wait. They're called Wait, 1995. I was wondering when it was going to pick up a little bit. All right, we're going to move on because time is flying by and I want to get the most of these songs in. So the next one I have is the band's Boys Don't Cry. And the song is I Want to Be a Cowboy. This song was not in the documentary, but Lemmy helped with the song and he plays the bad guy in the video. So a little bit about the song. I Want to Be a Cowboy is a reflection of this desire for freedom and escape from the mundane reality. The song explores the yearning to break free from the constraints of everyday life and embrace the more adventurous and daring existence. It speaks to the universal desire to break away from ordinary and set forth on a journey of self-discovery. The song, the lyrics of the song paint a picture of a person who seeks to break free from monotone and routine life. They long for the excitement and thrill that comes with living on the edge, portrayed as a cowboy. Here it is. I Want to Be a Cowboy. Boys Don't Cry. Yeah, they need to fix that. That's kind of...
Riding on the range, I've got my hat on.
Did they...
I've got my boots, dusty. I've got my saddle on my horse.
I remember this song. Trigger. Okay.
I
Welcome back, newest Cupcake State. Oh, I just noticed she's not wearing a shirt on this album cover. So "I Want to Be a Cowboy" by Boys Don't Cry is a song. It was written by Lance Sloan, the lead vocalist of the guitar. It's of Boys Don't Cry. And it says this remains their most successful and well-known songs. "I Want to Be a Cowboy," Boys Don't Cry, off the album Boys Don't Cry, 1985. All right. Hey, Bam Bam.
Hello once again. It's been quite the show.
Yes. Yeah, it's fun.
I figured out the problem. It's not actually Podbean. It's your cell phone. The last updates that everybody's smartphones did has this new battery optimization feature. So you have to go into your settings, search battery optimization. It'll pop up a list of every single app on your phone. You scroll down to where it says Podbean. It automatically put it on battery optimization. So you have to turn battery optimization off.
In your settings, I'm writing it down. Okay, settings. Yeah. All right. I was wondering, I'm like, I do this all the time. I put it, you know, I'd want to turn it off so that it's not in my pocket opening up a bunch of stuff. And it wouldn't let me do that. I was like, what the hell is going on? Oh, geez. Well, yeah, thank
you. It's actually your cell phone, not the app. I just looked into it. I changed it and I tested it and it
stopped.
So far, it didn't shut you off. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, see,
I'll fix you up, and Mike, and if anybody else has that issues or whatever, just let them know it's in your cell phone settings, not up.
Oh, okay, yeah. So don't write Podbean and complain. They'll just yell at you. It's not us.
Yep.
Thank you, Bam Bam. Appreciate it.
Alrighty. Talk to you later.
That was driving me crazy. Okay, bye. Thank you. All right, so. The next song I have is Rancid. The song is Salvation. Oh man, restraint. So I'm just gonna play a little bit of it. Salvation, Rancid, they were on the documentary too. Lars Friggin, whatever his last name, he was in the documentary. I think is this a skater guy? He looks like a hardcore skater. Spiky hair, okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna stop this one so we can go on to another one. That's Salvation by Rancid. Lars Fredrikselsen, he was in the documentary talking about Lemmy. We're gonna move on to Jane's Addiction, Classic Girl. That was Dave Navarro. He was also in the documentary talking about Lemmy. Here's a little bit of that. Because I gotta play my Velvet Revolver one for sure. And then next Thursday, we're going to be doing the documentary on the Rainbow Club and the artists that went through that spot. There's so many. So again, that's just a little teeny bit of Jane's Addiction's Classic Girl, because then we had Ice-T. Ice-T was even in it. And he was part of Body Count, the group, and the song is The Winner Loses. Here's just a teeny bit of that. If it'll play for me, hopefully. And it says, this is a powerful track by Body Count, a heavy metal band founded by the actor and rapper Ice-T. And the song delves into the harsh realities of addiction, especially cocaine. Body Count, the winner loses. Ice-T kind of goes back to the days when we watched the Swap Meet one with NWA, I believe. Okay, let's go. So then we have Man in the Box by Alice in Chains. That one, why don't I have, I know that he was in the documentary too. I'm talking about Lemmy. So let me just play a little bit of that Man in the Box. There's all kinds of interpretations about what the man in the box is. There's themes of powerlessness, oppression, and resistance. Some have suggested that the song is about drug addiction, a common theme in Alice in Chains' music, and that the box is the metaphor for the drug addiction cycle. Others have seen the song as a commentary on the conformity and rigid social norms of American society, with the man in the box representing the individual who feels suffocated and trapped by the expectation and the demands of others. Man in the Box, Alice in Chains, off the album Facelift, 1990. This next song, when he put this on the list, I was waiting to see. First of all, he says, "Don't Worry, Be Happy" by Phish. And I'm thinking it's the band Phish, you know, P-H-I-S-H. No, it's the fish, you know, the bass fish that you could get at Christmas time that sits on your wall and you push the little button and it sings, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Well, Lemmy had one on his bathroom wall, and after he sprayed himself with Chanel Allure that he sprayed on him, he would hit the little fish, "Don't worry, be happy." The man in the box is the man in the mirror, that's for sure. All right, so then we have Dirty Little Thing by Velvet Revolver. Matt Sorin and Slash were both in the documentary. This is one of my favorites, Velvet Revolver, Dirty Little Thing. Man, I used to jam to this CD. I know. If you ever want to rock out, Velvet Revolver, Contraband, 2004, great album, love it. Get away from the drugs you're taking, love it. All right, so the last song we're going to end with, of course, has to be Motorhead, Till the End. Till the End celebrates individuality, self-knowledge, and staying true to oneself despite life's challenges or changes. And I think that's perfect to whom he was. He kind of didn't give a crap about what other people thought, and he was kind to other people and helpful to other people, and he lived his life the way he wanted to. His whole life. So till the end, Motorhead. No, this is not, that is somebody who is trolling me. Let me follow you. And I don't know quite what racist music is, but I wouldn't play it. But no, that is not me. You would know that because there's not a V next to my picture that they stole. When it's me, it has a V next to it, meaning that I pay for my programs. I am not a troll. They did that to me. So I am sorry for anything they may have said or done. Let's see who Michael Steele is. Yeah, Michael Steele bio is left empty. So I'm wondering if he has something to do with it. So let's copy and paste the IP address so I can send it to Podbean. And of course, he's the only person he's following is me. Thanks. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to say that address real quick. Yeah, he's gone. See that? He's gone. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. All right, just try to throw me off. Sorry, guys, that was Motorhead, Till the End. I'm wondering if that was somebody. I just clicked on his profile and clicked back into it and then clicked on the IP address. Not, you know, we'll see what happens, but I don't know. Yeah, interesting. All right, guys, I'm going to leave you guys like I always leave you. If I can find my sounds, there we go. Maybe not. Try it again. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for coming in. I love you guys too. Thank you for your support and everything. I hope that was that guy because I got his address. I don't know if they'll do anything anyway, but let's hope. All right. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Bam, bam, be safe driving in this weather. And I will see you guys on Monday. Bye. 1, 2, 3.